The first Empower was in 1996, and Roy Fish was a part of that Empower. In fact, it was he who started initiated the 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m. Bible study. 2008, this year, is the 13th Empower, and Roy Fish has been a part of each one of them. The footnote is he was invited last year, supposed to be here, but he was sick and not able to be here. But he's been a part of all of our Empowers. It was my privilege to sit in two of his evangelism classes while I was at Southwestern Seminary. Currently, Roy is somewhat retired. Some of you would know what that means. He does not teach as many classes, but he's still involved in the lives of students there on campus. Jeannie, his wife, is with him. And Roy is going to come and talk to us about running missionally this evening.
Four score and 20 years ago. Thank you. You know, it gives me a chance to tell what I probably have told and ever stayed in the United States, but I was preaching in a big church one time, and somebody way over in the corner stood up and said, "Hey, we can't hear. We can't hear back here." And somebody down front stood up and said, "Well, sit down and give thanks." But I want to be sure I'm heard, and really do appreciate the men who help us from that standpoint. You know, about the second week of March, I sort of begin to feel like a homing pigeon. And somehow I have a yearning to come to Wisconsin. I missed you last year, and I thought maybe for a while I was going to miss you this year. I preached in Oklahoma Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday night, I lost my voice. And it's coming back. It's almost normal. Now, don't get worried. I'm not going to die in the pulpit or anything like that. It's not that. When it comes to dying, I heard about a fellow down in Louisiana said, when it comes time for me to die, said, I want to get sick and linger on and linger on and linger on and then get well. And but you pray for me that God will make my voice strong. Boy, it's a thrill to be here. And I don't know of any engagement I have on my calendar in any year to which I look forward with the same degree of anticipation that I look forward to coming here to Green Lake and to Empower. Now, I want you to find the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, I want to read verses 38 through 42. You know, if you're going to run to win, your priorities have to be straight. You can be a fast runner, and you can be making quite a splash, but if your priorities are not straight, if you're not going in the right direction, if you're not running in the right way, then you'll never be a winner. So I want to talk to you tonight about priorities in running the race and priorities that make you a winner. Here's what it says in verse 38 of chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Father, we want to hear from you tonight. And that's why we've come. And I want to ask you that the challenge will not merely be from human lips, but the challenge that comes to us this evening will come from heaven itself. And we will respond with fresh commitment of our lives. These will be days of radical change for the better for multitudes of people who are here at Green Lake. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. The tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Just a little home, a brother, two sisters, in a little village called Bethany. But at this moment, in spite of the fact that the Prince of Peace himself was under that roof, there was little peace in that house. And the reason was that one of the sisters thought the other sister was shirking her household duties. In fact, her feeling was so deep, her resentment so strong, that she had stopped speaking to that other sister altogether. Hey, have you ever been in a situation like this where two people are not speaking to each other? And you are there. And she says to you, would you tell him to go get the groceries? And he says to you, in her presence, would you tell her that I got the groceries an hour ago and they're in the car in the garage? Well, that's sort of what was going on here. Martha was not speaking to Mary. Why, she had to say, Jesus, would you tell my sister to begin to work with me? Now, this little drama unfolds with tremendous meaning. And I'm hoping that God tonight is going to bring out into our hearts what we ought to hear precisely relative to this beautiful story that probably portrays life in Century One in a very appropriate way. But there are three characters in this little drama. I'm going to look at all three of them, and you put yourself where you belong. First of all, we're going to look at Martha, the activist. Now, ladies, I want to assure you this is not going to be a Martha bashing message. The Bible says some good things about Martha. First of all, she welcomed Jesus into her home. But after Jesus was there, she had no time for him. She didn't give herself to sit at his feet, to have conversation, fellowship, communion with him, to hear him talk, or to talk with him. You know, there are a lot of you here tonight who, if I ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, yes, I've received Him as my Savior. I know Him in that way. But I want to ask you, how well do you know Him? When's the last time you talked with Him? When's the last time you let Him speak to you through your Bible? The Apostle Paul had been a Christian for 30 years, and he made the statement that I may know Jesus. 30 years. Hey, Paul, come on. You know Jesus. You've known Him ever since you met Him on the Damascus Road. Oh, yes, I know Him. I know Him, but I want to know Him better, said the Apostle Paul. I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. You can only see a little of the ocean from the shore. But out beyond the dim horizon, there is more. So much more. Listen, there is so much more in Jesus Christ. We have only touched the hem of His garment. Don't be like Martha at that point. Invite Him to come in, but take time to get to know Him better. Second good thing I want to say about Martha was not afraid of work. And she knew what it was to stay busy. Her house was immaculately clean. You couldn't find dust with a microscope on the credenza in her house. She planted flowers. Her lawn was immaculate. The grass was green. But above all, Martha loved to work in the kitchen. She had a reputation, I think, in all of Bethany as the best cook in town. Every time, except one in the Bible, every time you see Martha, she is serving. That's a wonderful gift. I think she had the gift of helps. But Martha was having a problem with priorities. Friends, nobody here is going to be a winner in this race of life who does not run with priorities in proper perspective. And Martha was having a problem with priorities. All right, see if you can follow me. Only one time in all of history, never before, never since, one time in history, God came out of heaven and clothed Himself in human flesh. We call it the incarnation. Only once. And that God in human flesh was in Martha's home. All of this. And Martha's primary concern was basting the roast. You know, I preach a lot on Sundays in churches. Now and then I'll be invited out to somebody's home. And it'll be 10 after 12 when we get there. And the meal is cooked. The table is set. Everything's right. See, I know exactly what's happened. She skipped church to come home to fix the meal. I call it the Martha Club. Don't join it. Martha was having trouble with priorities. Now, I want to tell you that misplaced priorities inevitably lead to frustration in your life. Jesus used a word to describe Martha here. Martha, you're distracted. It's a strong Greek word. It means to draw away, to yank, to be pulled in many directions. Listen, Martha's motives were pure. She had high hopes for preparing a feast for Jesus that Jesus would never forget. Oh, but the task was proving to be more than she could handle. The peas were boiling over. The bread was burning. Would the servants bring the right kind of bread, the right kind of cheese? Would the silver be straight on the table? 100 distractions, like a spider web, were weaving themselves through Martha's mind. Misplaced priorities always lead to frustration. You know, I wonder if I'm speaking to a father here tonight who's so busy with other things, you don't have time for that teenage son of yours. Don't be surprised if in a few years he hardly knows you. Or mother, who is so busy with other affairs that she has little time to counsel with a growing teenage daughter. Don't be surprised if that teenage daughter someday breaks your heart. Priorities. I was in Tampa, Florida. The pastor said, we're going to visit some folks who never come to church, although they've been members here for years. And we went to the house. While we were there, a little boy, about 11, came into the room dressed in a white karate uniform. And they explained to us he was taking karate lessons. Oh, they bragged about it. They were so proud of him. Why, pretty soon he'll be brown belt. And somehow in my mind's eye, I could see a judgment day. I could see a little boy standing in a white karate uniform before God and hearing the voice of God saying, depart from me, son. I never knew you. You're lost. You never turned to Jesus. And I see this little boy point an accusing finger at his parents and say to them, I accuse you. And look at God and say, I accuse them. They taught me karate lessons, but they never taught me from the Bible. They took me to movies, but they never took me to church. I heard them curse aplenty, but I never heard them pray. I accuse them. How about your family priorities tonight? Martha was having a problem with priorities, and mistaken priorities inevitably lead to frustration. Now, frustration ultimately leads to anger. Martha finally had it up to her neck. Her short fuse burned to the powder, and the explosion took place. She came in. Mary is at Jesus' feet. Martha has her hands on her hips. She's red-faced. I believe smoke's coming out of her ears. And in anger, she says, Jesus, why don't you tell my sister to help me? Again, there is a Greek word that describes Martha. It's thorobus. It's a word, by the way, from which we got our word perturbed. But have you ever thought that the word perturbed has the word T-U-R-B, turbulence, in it? If you've ever flown in an airplane very much, you know what it means when the pilot says over an intercom, hey, better buckle up. We're going to hit some turbulence up the way. I know what that means. It means this way and this way, and I'd better be belted in. Martha was having some spiritual turbulence on the inside. And inevitably, this kind of frustration leads to self-pity. She really had a little pity party right there on the spot. Don't you care, Lord? Nobody really cares about me. She was angry with Jesus. She was angry with Mary. Frustration ultimately leads to anger. Now, that's Martha. She invited Jesus in, but that's as far as her relationship with Jesus goes in this story. We're going to move now to Mary. Maybe you're asking, Roy, which one of these do you think you would have preferred? Martha or Mary? Well, I think I would have preferred Martha before dinner and Mary after dinner. But you'll understand the word that I use when I say we called Martha the activist. I'm going to call Mary the spiritualist. She was interested in the things of the Spirit. And the Bible says Mary was seated at Jesus' feet. Now, I believe that you can take that literally. I think she was literally at His feet. Every time you read that verse or read that phrase, at His feet, in the Bible, it doesn't mean literally at His feet. The Apostle Paul said, I grew up in the city of Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. What it means is that you're giving yourself to somebody to let them mentor you. You are humbly receiving instruction from them. It's a place of respect and humility. And Mary was at Jesus' feet. I challenge some of you young women here to do a Bible study on Mary. Every time you see Mary, you find her at Jesus' feet. Here, she was at His feet. Do you remember in your Bibles that Lazarus died? Their brother passed away. And Jesus waited 4 days before He ever came to do a pastoral visit to that broken-hearted couple. When He got there, Martha came to Him and they talked in the garden and had sort of a theological discussion. But the Bible says when Mary came and met Jesus, she fell at His feet. She's always at Jesus' feet. We see Mary one more time. And that was at another feast. And by the way, interestingly enough, it says, and Martha served. But Mary was at His feet. And that's where she took a vase of perfume and broke it on His feet and anointed Him and washed His feet with the hairs of her head. Now, have you ever read that passage where Judas, the calculator, said, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages, 300 denarii, Judas said. And you can be sure that Judas had calculated it well. A year's wages. Friend, even in poverty wages, that's, what, $20,000? Mary took a jar of expensive ointment worth a year's wages and anointed the feet of Jesus. Well, I want to be more like Mary, don't you? Poured out on the feet of Jesus what probably was her dowry. Now, I love Mary because she was willing to bear reproach for Jesus' sake. She bore the reproach of her sister, Martha. She bore the reproach of 12 preachers. They were led by Judas, but all of them were criticizing her. Why wasn't this sold and the money used to feed the poor? Jesus said, let her alone. She's done this to anoint me for my burial. You know, Jesus had been trying to teach the disciples for almost 3 years that He was going to die. And so far, they just hadn't gotten it through their thick skulls. But Jesus said about Mary, she has anointed me for my burial. Now, I've always said that women are more spiritually perceptive than men. And I believe that. But there was only one person with all the apostles there and whoever else was at that feast. There was only one who believed that Jesus was going to die. And that was Mary. She's done this to anoint me for my burial, said Jesus. How could she know? Why did the others miss it? She knew because she had been sitting at Jesus' feet. Friend, you take time with Jesus, you'll pick up on thrilling secrets that tremendously enhance your life. Mary was the only one there who understood that Jesus was going to die. And the reason was, she sat at His feet. One more thing about Mary before I go to Jesus. Mary, the Bible says, chose the best part. Those are the words of Jesus. Mary has chosen the good part that won't be taken away from her. The words that I call to your attention right now are these. Mary chose. Friend, you choose your priorities. We can't blame our lack of time with Jesus on the fact that we're too busy, our circumstances, our conditions, are other people. We choose our priorities. And Mary, Jesus said, chose the good part. She had sat at His feet. Now, just for a minute before I bring this to a close, I've talked to you about Martha, and I called her the activist, and I called Mary, the spiritualist. I'm going to call Jesus the analyst. Because Jesus was there and saw this whole thing unfold. Now you remember about Jesus. He never made a single mistake when He spoke. Never one error came out of His mouth. Not one syllable of untruth ever fell from His mouth. He always, always spoke inerrantly. And with that in mind, Jesus is going to appraise what has gone on. He's going to analyze what's been happening. And here's what He says. Martha, you're troubled about so many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which won't be taken away from her. One thing, Jesus said, is needed. Mary has chosen the one thing that really counts. Friend, do you realize that what Jesus is talking about is what I call the battle of the ages? That war between things material and things spiritual. Things temporal and things eternal. He's talking about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And He says one thing really counts. You see, Jesus always talked in terms of bottom line values. What's really going to count? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Bottom line values. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Bottom line values. Labor not for meat that perishes, but labor for that which endures unto life eternal. Bottom line values. Our journey here, friend, is relatively brief. Every one of us is going to be in eternity, and Jesus realized this. He realized the reality of heaven and hell. And Jesus realized that all of us are eternity-bound people. And He says one thing is needed. That which lasts forever. One thing. Mary has chosen the good part that won't be taken away from her. One thing really counts. One thing is really needed. One thing. One thing. One thing. Say, Roy, what are you trying to tell us? What should we do? In response to what you've been saying in this message? Well, here there are some people who've never let Jesus come into the home of their heart yet. Never received Him yet as a Savior and a Lord. That's the first thing. Let Him into the home of your heart. And second, realize He loves you very much and He wants to walk with you in fellowship. You're extremely precious in His sight. And He wants time with you. And I was impressed as I sat down there on the front a minute ago to close this message by just asking you two questions. First of all, what are you doing in life that's going to make a difference 10,000 years from now? And second, are you living with eternity's values in view? I think God has called us here to run, to win, and we'll win only if our priorities are straight.